Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. MrShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lucien Big Daddy Labrador.
That boy is good.
Today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this day, February 8th, 2026. Oh, that's right. Super Bowl weekend for you Yanks. I mean, for you NFL fans. Excuse me. Woo! Demon in me. Let's start out with a quick disclaimer. Today's episode is rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast may not be for you. Get my mom. Shout out to all you listeners. And sticking with tradition, I'm going to ask that you quickly applaud yourselves. That's right. Yes, applaud yourself, because if you're like me and you're part of the target audience that I'm trying to reach out to, you're likely the kind of person who applauds everyone except your own self. And if this is your first time listening to this podcast, welcome. Yay! That's right, welcome. And that includes those of you who may have clicked on this podcast by mistake, thinking I was the other Shut Up Podcast. Welcome. Regardless, assuming you decide to stick around, here's hoping I say something on this episode that resonates and allows us to make history. ShutUpPodcast.com is the website. ShutUpPodcast411 at gmail.com is the email address. What is it? Episode 322. Wow. My voice is getting a little better. And for today's episode, I will be talking about my biggest hater. Biggest hater out there. But before we do that, we're going to start with some quotes, some quotables, and some randomness. All right. I'm chuckling because before I get into quotables, I'm chuckling because I have a new setup. I got the webcam set up in front of me. I got OBS Studio projected on one screen, because, you know, I got two screens. You know what I mean? Ladies, calm down. All right. So I got two monitors. Good money talk. And so my right is OBS Studio, so I'm looking at a video recording of myself. The lighting's a little bit fucked up, but I'm not gonna use that. And on my left, I have my notes and Jingle Palette, the software I use for my sound effects for shit like
message.
You know what I mean? But yeah, I feel like I really need to get another one, because this you get what you pay for, kids. You get what you pay for. Anyways, I'm feeling a little, and I forgot to add, remember how before I used to, well, for those of you who came back, right, I'm bumping my desk, right? You can't hear it. Stop banging on the furnace. I'm banging on my, okay? I have a floor stand, and I think I'm going to stick to this floor stand and return the boom mic that I had, purchased. But whatever, man. What I'm saying is progress. Change has come to Shut Up Podcast. I was trying to think of an Obama reference. And we'll get to that. I'm feeling giddy. I'm feeling giddy, right? Yeah, let me have my moment. Let me have my giddy moment, okay? All right. Let's start with quotables. First one on there. It's getting a little tough for me to get used to having my... All right, first quote goes, getting used to this change, guys. That's what I mean. Every pattern in your life repeats until you learn the lesson. The moment you choose differently, the loop ends and growth begins. Next one. This one I got from, shout out to my therapist for sending me this one. It goes, Jesus Christ. Hold on, bear with me as I enlarge the, readjust the, I'm a professional podcaster. All right. Your boundaries. Your boundaries are not making you lose friends or family members. Your boundaries are making you lose gaslighters, emotional abusers, needy and greedy manipulators, self-centered narcissists, and energy-draining vampires. Keep standing up for yourself. You're doing great. Oh, man. This one deserves a...
message!
All right. Bear with me. Let me get the other one. It goes, these don't make you a bad person. Cutting ties with someone who affects your mental health negatively, saying no to something you don't want to do, having a different opinion, hitting do not disturb, enforcing your boundaries, putting yourself first, letting others know what you need, letting others know what you need do not make you a bad person. I used to have this bad habit of always, when my phone rings, picking it up because I have like an image of the person on the other end looking at me through a camera. I used to have an image of a person, a mental image in my of them looking at me and watching me saying, I don't want to pick up this phone now because I'm not in a correct mental state to pick it up. I used to feel guilty about that shit, but I guess that's that adds to it. Excuse me. I used to do that. Now I'm like, yeah, straight to voicemail. You better explain in that voicemail. Convince me why I should call you back. Was that the last one? Oh yeah. This one is okay. These next two one are actual quotables that will relate to the final thought. The first one goes, "I wish I was somebody, anybody but myself." And next one from Euphoria goes, "It's always been about love and hate. Now, let me say I'm the biggest hater. I hate the way that you walk, the way that you talk. I hate the way that you dress," all right? Again, link to the final thought. And last one, you know what? Okay, no, that's it. That's it for quotables, all right? I hope you enjoyed it. Let's jump into randomness.
So, you're a philosopher?
Yes.
What would you say to people who feel like they haven't gotten justice, Mr. President?
Something that people care about. Yeah, what do you say?
What would you say to the survivors who feel like they haven't gotten
justice? You are the worst reporter. No wonder CNN has no ratings because of people like you. You know, she's a young woman. I don't think I've ever seen you smile. I've known you for 10 years. I don't think I've ever seen a smile
in
your face.
Well, I'm asking you about survivors.
You know why you're not smiling? Because you know you're not telling the truth. And you're a very dishonest organization. And they should be ashamed of you.
All right. That was the President of the United States lashing out at a reporter for doing her job. And I know, like, okay, it's February 8th. I know everyone. Damn, voice is acting up again. I might need to suck on a fisherman's friend. All right, I know everyone is talking about, most people are reacting to Trump's recent post on True Social where he, it's a racist post, right? Trump doing what he usually does, Trump being racist, Trump doing a racist bit, and that's what the news cycle is all about, is how, and the usual, oh, it's not racist, it's the usual, why would, you know, the usual... the usual media coverage when someone does something racist is, did he mean it? Did he really mean it like that? But, yeah, I know there's a lot of, like, excuse me, backlash from it. But, you know, come on. I'm not surprised. Now, the reason I'm bringing up Trump's interaction with this female reporter is because, I saw it last week. And I was going to talk about it on the last episode, but I wanted to sit in it, right? And it just had me thinking about, first thought is, I know everyone's, there's the racist tweet, but I feel like we should, like, I feel like people have a short memory of the heinous shit that Trump has done. But, you know, maybe that's the news media not doing his job, but it's just like, every week or every day, there's a new, oh, can you believe he did this, right? Now, I want to go back to this particular moment between this interaction between Trump, because it reminded me of every time I've turned a blind eye on sexism. Because I was thinking about it, right? So once I became enlightened about oh, we men, oh shit, we are not good people, or we are not good people to the opposite sex, or and whatnot, right? I'm not saying it's our nature to not be good people to the opposite sex, but I'm saying this programming of masculinity is, when you think of the definition of masculinity, it's pretty much being in opposition of femininity. But right. So as I'm starting to discover this, I'm looking back, once I became enlightened, I'm looking back and feeling guilty about all the time that I've either did some toxic masculinity shit, or like was disrespectful towards, did not treat a woman like a human being, all that thing. But I always remembered, but the part that hit me the most is all the times I turned a blind eye to sexism. And I guess I'm trying to tell myself to show myself a little grace, because watching that moment with Trump, with that reporter, reminded me, like, this shit is normalized. Notice how no one said anything. Right? You just let it happen. It's like we've told ourselves that, oh, Trump is just being disrespectful. Trump is just being Trump. But no one, it's normalized. And not just that, but it's like, I feel like it's like we've gotten used to, or I've especially gotten used to letting a guy who's more powerful than you get away with whatever the fuck, because you don't want that smoke. It's like, look, lady, I know you're taking some disrespect, but better you take some disrespect than I go through what I'm saying. Well, for one thing is, I'm quick to shut down any man who says not all men. I'm like, yep, shut up, dude, shut the fuck up. We got a rope. We are not the. I'm thinking of a knight of the Seven Kingdoms, and this main character about being a knight, protecting the innocents and all that shit. And I don't know if you're watching the series, but the disappointment. The disappointment he's having about, yo, knights ain't shit. I thought we were supposed to be the tough. I thought we were supposed to defend the innocent. I thought we were supposed to stand up for what is right. All you motherfuckers ain't shit. It's like, I feel like masculinity was presented like we were like knights. Not to say that women need to be defended, but we were supposed to be better than what we are now. Anyways, I don't want to go on a long tangent about the manosphere and whatever, right? But I am saying that dynamic felt so normal to me. It's unacceptable, but it's normal. If I'm at my job, actually, there was a situation at my job where this one particular employee, colleague, he was like, he's one of those people that when he's nice, and when he's not, he's not. Like when they're in one of those moods, it's like everyone gets out the way. It's like, okay, the homie didn't have this coffee, whatever, and stuff like that. But I'm used to that. And they when they're angry, all form of disrespect is acceptable for them. And he's been in the habit of like yelling at his employees and shit. And the reason why it triggered me is because I had just gotten off stressfully. I've been in a situation where I dealt with disrespectful colleagues and just internalized it and just said, you know, whatever, just you can't, and nothing you could do about it. They're whatever. But I remember where I reached the point of enough is enough and vowing that, yo, I'm not letting that shit happen to other people because I know how much I hate. Anyways, homeboy snapped on one person, on one employee. I wasn't there when it happened, but he snapped on one employee. And their response to it was, when another colleague asked about it, goes, you shouldn't have had to put up with that. That was fucked up. And they responded with, I'm used to it. That set me off. But I didn't confront him about it. What I did do is waited for the next time for him to, but I did do is document that shit and waited for the next time. Because it was a known issue. Again, it was a known, he had a reputation of being a problematic employee. But there was one time he did it. you know what? Okay, I'm going to stick to the story. The long story short is he got dealt with because I started documenting every time he had his outburst on people. And then shared it with management. And he didn't get fired. He just got transferred to a different department because that's how they do at my job. But that's another story. But what I'm getting at, what you're seeing there is fucking normal. Kids are watching this and they're seeing it as normal. I won't be surprised if either CNN, because the reporter works for CNN. I forget her name. With Caitlin something, what's her name? CNN reporter, Trump attacks. Nope. Name of, I need a long list. CNN reporter, Trump attacks. As I do this, I'm searching my words, so I know I'm stalling in what I'm trying to say here. Caitlin Collins, that's her name. All right. For not smiling. Well, yo, I really wonder if the white women who like, oops, accidentally voted for him are like, oh, I like to believe like they're like, okay, we fucked up. I mean, this should be the line of whatever, man. I'm sorry. I'm going to go on. I'm just going to get mad again. All right. So, again, getting back to how that shit is. What I was saying is I will not be surprised if I, she's in a situation where she was told, like, we're going to need you. Like, it's a requirement of the job. We need you ladies to have a tough skin. And I'm sure, you know, who knows? Maybe she can handle it. Maybe she told herself, I'm used to it. Trump won't be the first disrespectful man who, you know, first man to disrespect me at my job and shit like that. And I just got to take it. I think that's what bothers me. Whether CNN has this expectation that either A, you have to take it, or maybe they said, because let's see that motherfucker do that with a man. Whatever, man. Or B, maybe they're purposely sending female reporters and to try to get a rise out of them because this kind of shit creates headlines. I'm a cynic, man. I think the mainstream media is loving Donald Trump because it makes them relevant. It's like, yo, this mother, he's like a fucking circus clown, man. Every day there's something, he generates a headline. But yeah, I guess I'm going back to, because on this podcast, we don't regularly offer solutions, but I am saying, in the journey on our quest to men being better, this is the problem. Is it a lack of courage on our part? Lack of consequence? It's I don't know. I guess it just bothered me that I want the world to know this is what the ladies are talking about. I'm just saying that dynamic is normal, has been normalized. And Did anyone look at this? Did CNN write a report and say, "Hey, sir, that was unacceptable"? Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm thinking of the respect. I'm thinking of the look, man. One thing we men have it through our head: you do not disrespect a stripper in a strip club, because those bouncers will fuck you up. It's like ingrained in our mind. We don't care if you get drunk, but you slap her ass, oh, we fucking you up. Like, it's engraved to behave. Is that it? I mean, yeah, sure, he's the president of the United States, but so fuck it. I guess it's the dictatorship, whatever, man. It just bothers me, man. It just bothers me, like, these terrible people. Usually you would use shame to, like, put him in check, but this motherfucker feels no shame. So what are you going to do? I have no solutions. I'm just pointing out a problem that society needs to change.
So you're a philosopher?
All right. This is, I want to share a story about how I came about to subscribe to the Grits and Eggs podcast. I'm laughing at me making a story out of this, right? But I just found it entertaining, right? So Grits and Egg podcast is hosted by, or co-hosted, well, the main host, his name is Deontay Kyle. And I remember I remember constantly seeing him on TikTok. Or I remember the first time I seen him on TikTok, he was wearing a hoodie, gray hoodie, and he was in a truck, and he was just spitting wisdom. He was just saying shit that I was like, damn, this dude knows what the fuck he's talking about. This motherfucker's articulate. He's making a great point. Kind of reminds me of, I'm blanking on his name. Oh, goddamn weed, all that weed I smoked. I forget his name, but... You know, I don't know, it's like these content creators, every time you see them and every time you hit play, unmute, you're always blessed by, they always say some shit that's like some food for thought. I wish I could be, but what gets me is it's consistent. It's like one person wrote, yo, they never miss. They never miss. Like, I've wanted to be in that position, but I'm always scared of the one day that I say the wrong thing, it's like, yeah, I think, you know, genocide, hold on, let's talk about it. Oh, maybe I'm the Genghis Khan's had some good ideas, you know? Sorry, I stole that from the newsroom, that joke. TV show The Newsroom. But my point is, I remember he was just that guy on TikTok. And what's funny is I kept hearing he had a podcast and I ignored it. Like, what I'm getting at is I'm surprised that all the time that I saw him, despite the fact that I would say, yo, this guy knows what to say, it never clued in to, like, hey, subscribe to his podcast. Maybe he's got, because I'm always looking for a new podcast to distract me from the world, or to check out, right? And and I'm laughing at what finally got me to hit the subscribe button is, I can't find the original link, is how it wasn't like some good promo. It wasn't because he was on a billboard. It wasn't because I heard him on the radio. You know what it was? Is I'm doom scrolling through threads, and I see a post where he's getting dissed by, what the fuck is that nigga's name? Tariq Nasheed, right? I'm not a fan of Tariq Nasheed. He's like the complete opposite. I'm revolted by Tariq Nasheed. But whatever, man. That dude's an entertainer. Anyways, he was... So, Deontay Kyle posted a meme Tariq Nasheed posted making fun of him. So apparently these two are at odds with each other. It would make sense. And Deontay responded with, yo, oh, it was an AI shit. some AI slop he used to diss them. And Deontay's caption read, yo, I need to learn how to do this shit. But he laughed, right? He's laughing at his foe, or his, not competitors, but his opposition making fun of him. He's taking it in good taste. And because I looked at that, I'm like, oh, because you're not friends with him, now I got to hit subscribe. I feel like there's a marketing study that should be done about how, like, I would love to fill out that, not that he's going to send out a survey, but how did you end up subscribing to my podcast? but it is interesting, man. I'm thinking of what's that track by Nas? He says the first time you heard Nas, and it had me thinking about the first time you heard an artist, and then they became your favorite artist, or the first time I heard the Black Guy with Tips, or podcasts, and I became committed, and I developed a relationship with them. And I thought it was funny, man. Just a long journey, right? Now, it's funny. So I subscribed, listened to this one episode. And sure enough, look, he ended up saying, like, I was enjoying the podcast until he said something that didn't sit well with me about Black History Month. Now, I got to tell you that when you become my favorite podcast, I say favorite podcast, but I mean like a podcast that I'm subscribed to, or I'm committed to, I will allow you to say something that won't sit right with me. Well, to a certain extent. I mean, don't be calling me a bitch. If you're from Ottawa, you're a bitch. Fuck you, and whatever, man. But every once in a while, those a podcaster will say something and that won't sit well, and I will sit in it and just, why is it bothering me so much? And, excuse me. It's, yeah, sure, there's been a moment where I've hit unsubscribe, but in this particular situation, he made a point about Black History Month, and I'll get to it. I'll try to describe as best as I can, right? And he made a point about Black History Month that bothered me, and I remember thinking, I thought black is black, man. What were we thinking, man? And then, but it's not, like I said, it's not the first time a podcaster has said something that didn't sit well with me. I lingered on it and learned something new. Now, in this particular case, he was reacting, Deontay, he was reacting to a country singer who accepted a black country singer who accepted an award. I guess he's Nigerian American. Excuse me. And this nigga goes off and starts saying, like at the beginning of Black History Month, about, yeah, shout out to all us immigrants. We built this country, and he said some foul shit, man. So he said some fucked up, whatever, man. And from there, Deontay went on this, yo, Black History Month is for black Americans, just for us. I'm paraphrasing, but yeah, man, we ain't trying to hear about the Haitian Revolution and blah, 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 stuff like that, right? Now, you should listen to it yourself, because again, I interpret it the way I interpret it. And instead of getting, okay, I'm not going to say mad, right? It bothered me because I was like, wait, are you saying how you're celebrating Black History Month, or how I should be celebrating, how me, a black Canadian, should be celebrating, should my focus. And what's interesting is it's a point that Randolph on the Three Guys On podcast, he was making, because he reacted to the Shibuzi clip. And again, I'm still sitting in it, right? But the point I see that I think they were reacting to is the blatant disrespect that non-black Americans have for black Americans. Like forgetting that, hey, you're immigrating to their country. And yes, I am familiar with that notion of black immigrants from the diaspora immigrating to the United States and have the audacity and then looking down on black Americans. Like, look at me, man. I'm CEO of my job. How come you're still where you at? I'm familiar with that notion, and I can understand why I can understand the resentment. You know, it's like, come on, man. Look, learn the fucking history. Shit. I know black people. I grew up on the whole... Black American culture is the reason why I developed my own identity. I'm be black. It's the reason why I end this show. I've said this in previous, if you've listened to previous episode, I've mentioned this before. It's the reason why I say this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. Right, this is my way of saying, like, shout out to black American culture. Because when I first started out, the first people to get me to realize that, yes, you're allowed to feel pride for being black. There was a time in my life where I associated black with shame. Because I had parents who prioritized... religion over culture. Well, they didn't want to hear shit about culture. It was just white Jesus. That's all you need to know. White Jesus is coming to save you. And so I grew up with a void about what about my identity? Like for them, they didn't think they needed to explain that. Yes, those white kids are calling you nigga, but it doesn't mean you are one. Or, you know, yes, you should be proud of who you are, including it. No, they were just like, that. Love Jesus, that's all you need to know. So there was a vacuum when it came to identity. And then I discovered hip hop. Then I discovered Eyes on the Prize, learned about that history from looking at them. I started to embrace who I was as a human being. And that included everything associated to my black skin, whether it be descendant of Haitians, Haitian parents, whether it be the fact that I born in Canada, French was my first language, learned English afterwards thanks to Sesame Street, and grew up in Ottawa. I wasn't from Brooklyn. I don't know shit about the South. One of my favorite moments is I spent 2 years in the States, and those 2 years is what opened my eyes to, there's a difference between black American and black Canadian or black Haitian Canadian. There's a difference between them and you. Sure, we're all black is black, but there's a difference. And I am going to acknowledge that maybe it's true, there isn't a day like Haitian people have their Independence Day. But come on. I'm Haitian, but come on. The joke is, I know I'm Haitian. My relatives don't think I'm Haitian. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm that kind of Haitian. It's like fellow Haitians don't think I'm... Like, they'll embrace me, don't get me wrong. But they'll be like, wow, your Creole sucks. Fuck you mean you can't dance, compa? Fuck you mean you don't know who... You've never heard this song. Fuck you mean you've never ate whatever the fuck, you know what I mean? Fuck you mean you've never been to a carnival in, you know what I mean? It's I grew up around white people, man. I'm just whatever, man. Anyway, oh my God. But yes, I'm saying it didn't. My point is, I'm going to continue to listen to the podcast. Go, brother spits out facts, and whatever caused him to say what he said is worth. I feel like. That's the thing. I can hear him out. I feel like I can. He's the kind of person that, the Deontay guy, I can have a conversation about, hey, what you said didn't sit well with me. And it would probably come out with, okay, here's what I meant to say. Or my intention wasn't to make you. That's not where I was going with those intentions. I was just trying to speak up for. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's certain people that you can disagree with. There's certain people with that disagreement will lead to enlightenment. And I believe he's one of those. That's what I'm trying to get at. Oh my God, damn. Is it ever difficult for me to make a point? But yeah, all right. We all originate from the same descent. Oh, sorry, I'm trying to quote Maestro. Fuck, what's the line again? It's who you are, not where you went. We all originate from the same descent.
Message.
There we go. Anyways, I'm just going to end with however he meant it, I'm not willing to die on that hill on to a – like, let me put it this way. It's like if that's how you see it, that's how you want to see it. I'm not going to argue with you on it. If it's a shame that I guess I'm saying, like, I'm not with those people. I recognize contribution and if I'm out of line tell when it comes to Black History Celebration. But, yeah, but come on, man. What do you mean? I'm not going to think about the Haitian Revolution during Black History Month? Are you at your mind? We're going to talk about the contribution by the Egyptians, but not us? I'm not trying to get into that fight because I know there's a lot of like Black Americans who've been feeling disrespected by the diaspora, and I'm trying to say I'm not them, but who knows? Maybe there's some learning I could do about that. But yeah, but Shaboozy, what the fuck, nigga? Come on, man. Nigga. What, are you trying to make white people happy? And whatever. All right.
So you're a philosopher?
All right. Last thing is, you know what in the podcasting world? One thing I love is when your favorite podcaster reads an email that you sent in. Now, I've sent my fair share of emails to podcasts, and one podcaster didn't acknowledge it. Well, the only way they acknowledge it is they friended me on what's that application? Twitter, and that was warm enough. But anyways, what I'm trying to get at is I don't know if I told you, I shared an email with the Black Isle Tips and Three Guys On, and they read it out loud, and it felt good, man. It really, ça monte les morale, ça m'a monte les morale. I have to acknowledge it, man. All right, look, man, I'm so used to acknowledging all the negative shit in the world, but I gotta say that it's a good feeling when your favorite podcaster reads an email that you sent in and it's taken the way it was intended. Now, the email I sent in was just was to tell them about, again, talked about this in previous episode, but for you first-time listeners, I will explain it. I was in Mexico, and I went on this food tour, and I remember me and the tour guide were the only people who weren't white or American. So they were white people, white Americans, right? And I remember my first instinct was, the first nigga to make a 51st state joke. And I remember what triggered that thought is because the year before I had gone on a cruise. I was on a cruise. And I remember I was like, oh, shit, I'm surrounded by Americans. But it was not the fact that I was surrounded by Americans. I remember my first thought was, as long as we don't talk politics, we will get along. I remember the first thought. Because I know better than to ask questions I don't want to hear the answers to. So I felt like as long as no one talks politics, then we're good. The next day, some asshole starts walking around with his Trump t-shirt and just feels like fucking fuming. Trump t-shirt, the regular redneck, like just waiting, you mean my president, whatever, man. And anyway, so I remember, I guess I must have been scarred from that moment, but I'm like the first motherfucker to make a 51st state. Now, I'm talking all tough like I was going to do something, but I was, at the most, I would say, yo, shut the fuck up, or that's not funny, or whatever. It's like, yo, I'm off this tour, fuck it. I would have treated them like they were from Israel. No, not from Israel, but Zionists. And they were like, yeah, dead Palestinian children, yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, fuck. Yeah, I'm out, man. I'm going to ruin. I'm going to try to get my money back or try to reschedule, get me on a, but whatever. I would have walked away. That's my point, right? But human beings, they were human beings. We got along. Everything went well. They were chill people. There's a few pictures of us together chilling, whatever. I had a good time, right? Like, I remember I went from worrying about 51st state to, it worked out. And it's only when I got back to my room and doom scrolling, went back on social media and seeing all the headlines. And I remember my first thought was, oh, right, I was supposed to hate these people. Oh, I forgot to add that while in that moment when I interact with these people, with these Americans, these white Americans, I kept thinking about Three Guys On and Black Eyed Tips, and I had no idea. It's only when I got back to my room and started processing everything that happened that I'm like, oh. It's like in the old days, I used to look at TV to learn about that world called the United States. And now I'm using, like, in addition to me, podcasters, their experience to be like, oh, those people. Anyways, I'm going on a tangent here. But it is, okay, I also have to mention that the other reason I'm feeling good about this email is because it also accomplished something that, it did two things. One, it returned a favor. It returned, the main thing is it returned a favor because I saw that there's a part that made him laugh, and which was intentional, and two, gave him something to think about. And I'm returning the favor because I've been listening to their podcast and they gave me laughter and a shitload of food for thought. Food for thought, you do the dishes. Well, I had to do the dishes. And I find it interesting, Rod and Karen's take on when they heard it. And they were careful to say that, yo, this is not a criticism. I'm not attacking you. But this, the part it made them think, that had me thinking, was how I don't waste my time. Rod said that, how he doesn't waste his time. He goes, maybe it's from, I'm from the South, but we don't spend our time thinking about what are white people thinking. And at first, you know, I heard that because he was careful to say, no, I'm not criticizing you, but I remember feeling defensive hearing that and then also going, but B, you do that. I do that with most human beings. Worry about what are they thinking. But with white people, it's a different angle. I think it's because I've, I don't know if I do it to the extreme Rod was describing, but I do find myself preoccupied with what is that white person thinking whenever I'm out, whenever I'm around white people. I remember when I was a kid, bunch of us black kids, we were on the bus being loud and everything. And I remember being subconscious about all the white people looking at us. Oh, they're going to think we're the N-word. We're going to think that we're this, we're that, whatever, and things like that. It's and look, it might be a mean thing or it might be a black Canadian thing. But I do know, and I say black Canadian, or it might be like when you grow up surrounded yourself with white people. I mean, again, let me get back. Speaking for my own self, I do have a mechanism that's like, hey, there are three people in this room. Be mindful of your presence. Be mindful of what, you know, of try not to get on their bad side. Anyway, it was an interesting thought. It's like another food for thought. He went into one direction. It's not something that I expected, but it did give me something to reflect on. But yeah. Yeah, man, it's funny, eh? So what did I talk about so far? Randomness has been about the setup, Trump, normalizing Trump's bad behaviors, and then podcasting. Podcasts, yeah, the journey in podcasting. All right, and I guess that's it for, about to miss the halftime show. All right, that's it for quotables and randomness. Let's jump into the final say, final thought, final say. Stick to a title, B. And but before we do that, we're going to take a quick break. All right. Here's what's going to happen. I will first read what I wrote in my journal about today's topic, and then I'll elaborate. Sounds good? All right? Like you got a choice. All right. Okay. This is my way of saying, if it sounds like I'm reading it, it's because I'm reading it. All right. Should have proofread this, but whatever. During my last therapy session, we talked about loving yourself, about not managing other people's emotions, about setting boundaries, and about being a better friend to yourself. That was the topic of my last therapy session. And somehow that sent me down a rabbit hole about self-hate. and realizing I don't know who I am without it. I don't know a world outside of being a self-hater. And while I was stewing on that realization that I don't know a world outside of self-hate, the line by Kendrick from the song Euphoria, "Oh, you thought the money and power of fame would make you go away," kept playing, repeating in my head. It's the reason why I figured out, it's the reason why I figured I'd make this my final say. When I first heard that line, I wasn't thinking about celebrities. When I know Kendrick meant it for Drake. But when I heard it, I thought of all those times, of all the possible ways, what I could use, like how money, power, and fame is things I could use to hide me, to delete me, or to upgrade me. I thought about how much my ambition might have been an attempt to escape myself. There we go. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, if I could stack enough money, discipline, status, I wouldn't have to sit with who I am. Let me repeat that. I thought how much my ambition might have been an attempt to escape myself. Like, if I could stack enough money, surround myself with bitches, discipline, status, and all that bullshit, I wouldn't have to be who I am. And it's uncomfortable. That's not really that uncomfortable in a bit. It is what it is. Self-hate doesn't look dramatic. Sometimes it looks like self-improvement, like hyper-discipline, like constantly correcting yourself, like believing that if you punish yourself hard enough, you'll finally become acceptable. Now, when I bring this up, that paragraph when I wrote that, I was thinking about those alpha male course where you see dudes going through some bullshit and going through some bullshit so they're spending all this money with the belief that this will allow them to be a better version of themselves. I want to be clear. I'm not defending these alpha male courses. I'm just recognizing. I see the logic to why someone would sign up for those coaches. Because you got other males who prey on that self-hatred. And like, give me $18,000 and I will make you a better person. Self-hate is why I've normalized dishonoring my feelings. Self-hate is why setting boundaries feels wrong. Like I'm breaking some invisible rule. I'm not sharing this because I need solutions. I want to be clear. Don't write in to be, well, if you learn to love Jesus, don't write in. I'm not looking for solutions. I'm sharing this because I'm noticing it. This unique version of self-hate. I'm not saying that not everyone doesn't understand that self-hate. Look, Kendrick can speak about it. But I'm talking about this unique one that I have directed at me. I'm noticing it. You, like James Baldwin said, you can't fix what you don't face. The last paragraph I wrote. I remember the first time I was, feel the need to share this story, I got drunk with some friends. I drunk, tipsy, whatever, right? But we were like, we just turned 18, we were 19, and we were like drinking beer for the first time as a friend. It was two of my closest friends at the time. And we got drunk, and that means it was the first time my inhibition went down. I wasn't used to it. And what I ended up doing is letting my inner voice, it's like I gave it a microphone. I let that inner voice, that hating voice, that self-hatred voice speak out. Usually I keep it to myself. And it just spoke out. And I was pretty much all the hateful things that I tell myself, I was saying it out loud while my friends could hear me. And then I'm a fucking this. I'm a fucking, like, it was awful. And I remember I wasn't paying attention to how quiet my friends were getting. But I remember the next day, one of my friends came up to me and said, bro, you were talking about some mad shit. It's like, do we need to give you a 1-800 number? Like, but I remember thinking, oh, no, I was just drunk and just playing it off. I was just drunk. I was just tipsy. I was just crazy. I don't know what was going on. You know what I mean? Hey, we did drink a lot, didn't we? Blah, whatever. But I remember what they say, the quiet part. I was saying the quiet part out loud. But I remember saying, okay, next time you get drunk. I think I bring up the story is because, A, I've normalized that voice, and B, but kept it to myself. And I feel the need to talk about this self-hatred because when I'm done recording and going to edit, that motherfucker is going to be in my head. He's going to pick up all the all the times I said ums, all the times that my voice sounded crooked, anytime that I cough, just picking up this bottle of water, like anything annoys me. And I'm just, it actually is what makes these episodes difficult because I got to fight with that motherfucker. I got to remind myself that, yo, nope, it's not that bad. It's not, you know, it's mistakes happen. I got to learn to give myself grace, but this motherfucker just goes off. You know, the thought of not knowing a world outside of self-hatred nearly made me cry. And I still don't know why that is. It's like, just get better. But the idea of getting better, of letting that go, triggered some tears. And needless to say, look, again, this is a conversation I should be having with my therapist, whatever, right? But I'm on the journey to being a better person. I find that I need to confront this, or just confront this hater, this health hater. You know, I've called them a name. I've called them the hater. I've called them Massa. See, on one end, I know I'm well aware that self-hatred is not unique to Black people. But I am saying, sometimes I wonder if how much of that hatred for self has to do with how it was passed on from generations. I'm getting close to finishing. I was just thinking about how I was talking about boundaries, and sometimes when I put up boundaries, that hateful voice will kick in and be like, because I'll feel uncomfortable, and it'll be like, how the fuck, how dare you take up space? What the fuck will you think? How dare you get in these people's spaces? Move out the way. I was trying to explain to a friend, it's like I had this built-in mechanism of, you are meant to be heard but not seen, seen but not heard, shut the fuck up. Which, by the way, is tied into why this podcast is called Shut the Fuck Up. It's just me being defiant and speaking up. Yeah. Now, if I share this, maybe there's a few people who are listening to this feeling cringe, feeling uncomfortable, but that's not my point. I mean, whatever. I put these thoughts out into the world, and you're going to react the way you're going to react. But what I am looking for are people who this shit resonates with. This self-hatred doesn't just go to Black skin. It also goes to gender. I mean, there was a time where I would say that, yeah, even I hate being a man. Only to realize what I really meant to say is, I hate being other people's definition of masculinity. Let me be myself. I guess that's on this podcast, we don't offer solutions. We just speak about the problem. Why would you listen to that? Because I feel like this hatred is like so built in. A lot of us aren't aware of it. This is my attempt to put it in the. It's funny on this. I'll talk about how, you know, applied yourselves, but I'll forget to do that myself. Like, I'm telling you to do it, but I should be telling myself to do it. When I say shit like, it's my goddamn podcast, it's my way of saying, fuck the haters, fuck the critics, you know why you're doing this. Live your life, you know, do your podcast the way you do it. They don't like it, they could go fuck themselves. And last point I'm going to make about self-hatred is that, especially because when I tie it to masculinity, I'm thinking of all the, there are dudes out there who are rapists, touch kids, who are like, have no integrity, have no, like if you were to, the version of them when no one's looking is despicable. And what gets me is how I remember growing up and feeling inferior to, like, I would, it's like I had gotten so used to being talked down by people, because men do that, especially in the locker room. It's like, hey, let me tell you. Okay, it's not just being a man, but also Christian, but always surrounded by people who always have, like, unsolicited advice on how you could be a better person. There's always, I had just gotten so used to people doing that, but especially men. Oh man, take some protein, some creatine, just whatever, man. They always like, I don't care what you're trying to do. My solution is better for you. Now, you know, it's one thing to, if you're like able to give advice. What I'm getting at is, it's more the idea of growing up feeling lower than the guy who got all the girls. The guy who like had the fancy car, who had like the whatever, right? While being oblivious that these motherfuckers don't even like their own fucking self. And they're preaching to you about self-love when they don't even have it. I think this is where all this is going. I think this is why it was so hard to, boundaries. And my favorite example is, I would always have friends who would tell me, yo, you need to stand up for yourself, man. Don't stop being a pussy. You need to stand up for yourself. And you stand up to them and they're like, oh, I didn't mean me. I meant everyone else. You understand how that could be confusing? You know what I mean? Anyway, all right. Look, all I'm saying is the journey of a thousand steps. So it's with the first step, whatever, man. What I'm trying to say is between me and being that version of me that's like less shitty to myself, it's kind of far. But I believe acknowledging this self-hatred is like my first step to, I'm just acknowledging it. And I know once I hit stop and hit start editing it and hear my own voice in my microphone, it's going to be out there. But I'm hoping that this is the episode that makes me like, oh, I see you. Yeah. Quit bitching, Bassa. You know what I mean? Like, I talk back. That's really what I'm getting at. Anyways, this concludes today's episode. I'm going to stop there because I feel like, you know what else about this beat is when I speak longer than, because it's hard for me to make a concise point. Whatever. I'm not going to give you my long list of my shopping list, my laundry list of, you know what grinds my gear about myself? Yeah. But I'm just, I know I'm there. But anyways, if I'm talking to myself, give yourself some grace, man. With that said, this concludes today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it, preparing for it and all that shit. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I'm recording this new setup I got. You know what I mean? You can't hear that, eh? Usually in my microphone, you'd hear boom, 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 whatever, man. All right. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Right in. All right. Before I end this show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Who's that blue?
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé Québec. I also represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question,
are you an outcast?
This episode was rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you. Oh my God. I gotta use that track by CeeLo. Hey, if at any point in this recording you found yourself saying, man, that was stupid, that was a dumb topic, or what the fuck, or the top was cool, but why'd he say it like that? At any point you find yourself saying any kind of foul shit like that, I just want to remind you that it's my goddamn podcast. It's my goddamn podcast. Thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace. I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than...